Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Football Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to the FantasyTeamAdvice.com Dynasty Football Podcast. I am your host, David Feld, and this is our 20th episode. Tonight I'm joined by Ray Mazzarella. He's a prolific writer on the FTA.com website covering a range of topics on football. That's FantasyTeamAdvice.com. It's owned by KJ Johnson and covers all things sports. I believe we even have a NASCAR section. And welcome, Ray. Are you there?
Yes, sir. David, how are you?
Oh, good evening. How you doing? How's everything?
Hey, everything's fantastic. And I am in just as much as awe, in awe as you, is the fact that we have a NASCAR section on the website now. I am all for this.
Yeah, I mean, the more the merrier, I think, too. It's a pretty interesting take. And hopefully that that segment of the site expands per KJ's hopeful expectations. And thanks for that, and welcome back, Ray. And tonight I'd like to kick it off with the most recent coaching carousel and what implications these moves may have for whomever's fantasy value for 2015. And I'm going to open it up by starting right here at home with the New York Jets. They're basically mostly fantasy irrelevant as far as like league play goes. Maybe some of the deeper dynasty leagues have some guys, but in any kind of redraft situation, I would think that most of those players are mostly ignored. Eric Decker might be the one guy. Anyway, with Bowles here and possibly Chan Gailey or someone like that, apparently it's not going to be Marty Morningway, coming in to coach the offense, does it give fantasy credence to any of their skill players going forward, Ray?
That's a tough one for me. I do believe the Chan Gailey hiring is official now, him as the offensive coordinator in New York. Like you said, right now, on the surface, it really might just be a lot of Decker and not a whole lot else fantasy-wise in New York. Chan Gailey has been out of football, out of coaching for 2 years. And the hiring of Todd Bowles as the head coach, I like. You know, they're replacing a good defensive mind with another, so the defense shouldn't lose a step. The defense could secure some extra all-important possessions for fantasy players and the offense and whatnot. But part of me just struggles to figure out how effective their offense is going to be with Chan Gailey. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's not a bad offensive mind by any means. I mean, C.J. Spiller hasn't been the same player since Chan Gailey left Buffalo, so maybe that speaks to his ability a little bit. He got some good out of Ryan Fitzpatrick while Fitzpatrick is in Buffalo while Gailey was coaching. So with the right pieces, I think this could be a good test as to whether Geno is legit. If Chan Gailey can't fix Geno, then Geno, there might not be any hope. That little sliver of hope that you might have for him might be gone if Chan Gailey can't do anything for him. So it'll be interesting. I'm not too optimistic if I'm a Jets fan, but I'm also not jumping off any tall buildings either with this news by any means.
I think the defense, will be better. Not that Todd Bowles is a better defensive mind than Rex Ryan. That's hard to do. But I'm just thinking that because of the way it went down in the defensive backfield for the Jets last year, I mean, they lost cornerbacks 1, 2, and 3. The rookie looked like he was going to be the number two guy. So when I say they lost the number two guy, I think that's Dexter McDougal. I think that he had performed well enough in the preseason to make himself, a starter capable on the as the two cornerback there, with the goal being that, Dimitri Patterson or Peterson or whatever his name was, the guy who head cased out on the Jets, that was supposed to be the nickel situation. A first-round pick in Kyle Wilson from like 3-4 years ago is a zero. He can't even be used. And, forcing a rookie safety into having to expand his field of coverage because he had three cornerbacks down, the other safety moved the cornerback. He's an inexperienced guy on that side. So Calvin Pryor had to, you know, had a gigantic range of responsibility. That's a lot to put on a rookie, especially in a defense that supposedly Rex Ryan's secondary schemes are pretty complicated and have to be, you know, mentally maintained all the time. It's tough enough making the jump from college to the pros and then having to deal with the additional stuff on your plate when you weren't even supposed to start, of having to play an expanded role at safety. So all that said, I think that if Dee Milliner, Dexter McDougal get back and are capable of playing, they're most probably going to both draft and sign somebody. I don't know if it's going to be sign a marquee guy and draft a second tier guy, or shoot for one of the better cornerbacks and sign a guy as well. Either way, I think that secondary is going to improve. It's just Todd Bowles doesn't seem the guy just is going to stand for that for 2 seconds. I think that's going to be priority number one. The front seven is top notch at the, you know, this is the very top of its league. So I expect that defense, just based on health, not that Dee Milliner will stay healthy, not that Dexter McDougal will recover fully from the knee in, you know, in time to play the first week or what have you. But I think that if the stars line up right for them here, I think that defense is very fantasy relevant, like probably in the top like three or four, like with, you know, there's Seattle and then I guess, you know, Detroit, Buffalo kind of thing. I think that's where the Jets could be valued as far as a fantasy defense goes. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, if they don't fix the line, it doesn't matter who the quarterback, the receivers, the running back, or the offensive coordinator is. It's, you know, there's no way you can just be like saying, as a quarterback, saying hike and then running for your life to find somebody sure. in the pattern maybe, or, you know, not get killed as you're getting tackled out of bounds, which happened a lot to the Jet quarterbacks this year, whether it was Geno or Mike Vick. So, you know, the Jets have a couple of gigantic important holes to fill. You know, the center, Nick Mangold, made the Pro Bowl again, and Bricashaw Ferguson, I'm sure he was in the discussion, but there's just too many great left tackles for him to be considered a top guy. But he's a pretty darn good left tackle. Nick Mangold's one of the better offensive linemen, if not, and he's probably the best center, one of the better offensive linemen in the league. So get a couple of guys around them, and then I think that they'll have a fairer assessment of what they have at quarterback. I think you missed the name there, Ray, when you were talking. You had Percy Harvin's a guy that, even though his cap numbers, they got to decide on him, I think, by June 1st. I'm not sure what the exact date for him is, but if they decide to take, they have a ton of cap room. If they decide to keep that on the team, you know, instead of draft a receiver, maybe keep Percy Harvin, fix the line, fix the secondary. I think that, you know, if that line gets fixed, I think Percy Harvin's in the conversation for fantasy relevance as well. I don't see how that's especially if your league offers you special teams points for touchdowns and what have you. I think that guy could be, you know, not a difference maker, but like a mid to high range wide receiver three in a fantasy league that starts three receivers. That's just my 2 cents on it.
Yeah, definitely not definitely in the realm of possibilities with first team. And if Chan Gailey can figure out a way to utilize him well within their offenses to keep him, you know, like you said, that definitely fantasy relevancy within reach.
Is he the guy? Is Chan Gailey hired, or is that, what's the deal there? I don't even know.
That is official.
I heard it was on, then I heard it was off, then I heard it was sort of on, and then I heard it was not so much on anymore. That was like about 6 hours
ago. Gotcha. Pro Football Talk had broken it earlier today. I believe that it was official that Chan Gailey was definitely the hire.
Okay. So, I mean, he's been out of football for 2 years, but I don't know. I think that, you know, if he can get C.J. Spiller, hey, man, if he gets C.J. Spiller in fairly cheap and he can be what Chris Johnson was supposed to be for them last year, you know, they had higher hopes for Chris Johnson, I would think, or better, you know, higher expectations. I think that if C.J. Spiller, which is the younger version of that, can get in there and I don't see Ryan Fitzpatrick coming here though. I see it being Geno until the line, you know, until they have a fair assessment. Again, it doesn't make a difference who comes here. If that line doesn't get fixed, it doesn't matter. They're not going to be able to do much with it anyway. Regardless of how good the two players are, who, you know, going into year 10, You got to have a ton of respect for both those guys. I mean, they hardly ever miss any time. It's just been incredible. Both drafted in the first round in the same year. Nice, huh? When that happens. Talk about a team that got lucky twice in the first round drafting linemen. I want to jump over to Chicago where John Fox, who was unemployed for, what, 15 seconds, 15 minutes, whatever, whatever
like
that was. I don't even know if it was that. I think they probably knew beforehand. It sounded like I think he turned down interviews on the Jets. He turned down – he didn't want to talk – I don't blame him for not wanting to talk to the Jets, but other teams I think also got the – also got the cold shoulder from him there too, because I think Chicago may have been a done deal as he was as he was resigning there. They have a core of really good young on Chicago now that he's inheriting a core of good young players in on defense anyway, in Bostic, Fuller, and Bass, and they'll most probably be drafting some help. And free agency is pretty loaded with talent. If you can, they have a ton of cap room. And Ndamukong Suh may be a possibility. Ratliff's going to be in his 11th year next year, so I'm not sure that they're counting on that all that much. They might be able to get a linebacker or two in the draft, which is also loaded with linebackers. And I think that even keeping Cutler, if they don't do anything, if they say Jay Cutler is my quarterback, the Fox says, Jay Cutler is my guy. Keep this thought in your head for when I finish, because I'm not sure Cutler was in Denver when Fox was there, but I need confirmation from somebody who knows. I just thought of that right this second. Anyway, the offense is pretty set and should be excellent again. They even drafted their hedges last year and 2 years ago. Brandon Marshall getting older, they drafted Marcus Wilson, who looks like a decent player, tall, rangy receiver who can get down the field, not afraid to go over the middle. And Kadeem Carey is the running back they drafted, I think, third or fourth round last year. Planning maybe for the day that Matt Forte feels, starting to feel his age a little bit and starts to show in his production. Not certain you can say that because he looked great last year. He's had like three fully healthy seasons in a row now, and he looks just as good as ever, and the line's fantastic. So I would say that both those guys, Kadeem Carey and Marcus Wilson, would see an immediate increase in their fantasy value in case Forte and Marshall get hurt. Or which I'm not going to say you can't predict it, but if Brandon Marshall hasn't, it's been hard for him the last couple of years. He played hurt in 2013, and he just played hurt almost the whole season and missed a lot of time last year. So I think that those guys can perform if needed, and they would be they would really do well behind a really good offensive line. What are you thinking there?
I think as far as the Bears go, in general. I think the hire of Fox is very interesting in the sense that, really, I don't think that the concern I had with the Bears was going to be the defense. And I think Fox being as good of a defensive line a coach as he is, and also, real quick to answer your question, I know you had, Fox was not there at the time that Cutler was in Denver. It was McDaniel that shipped Cutler off to Chicago before John Fox took the job. But I digress. John Fox, the defense is going to be the issue, as it usually is. But I think one of the smartest hires that was made so far in the offseason as far as coaches was the Bears hiring Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator away from San Francisco. And that defense over there has been phenomenal for the last several years, and that's something the Bears have been missing. For as good as their offense has been, as well as their they played with everybody there, with all the offensive weapons that they've had and drafted, and that the offense that they've built. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I thought here I lost it. Anyway, but those players that they have. Sorry about that. Those players that they have, they're not going to lose a lot of steps with a guy like Mark Trestman leaving or getting fired. He was a great offensive mind. Those are kind of players that work in whatever system you want to put them in. And having a coordinator like Fangio who can improve that defense, give those offensive players more chances. Those are the kind of players that they have. I don't think they necessarily need a certain system or a certain – and another thing with Chicago, too, is that they get to hire an offensive coordinator. I know Adam Gase was in the running, or he's currently in the running for the offensive coordinator spot. And that's with all the defensive minds currently in Chicago, having an offensive mind like Ace there to keep that consistency going, as far as the offense goes in Chicago, and the offense has been better than the defense, arguably, or maybe not arguably. They've definitely been better than the defense in recent years. So right now I think Chicago is trending in a very interesting direction.
I think the Chicago defense got better just by having Fox and Fangio there. He could make you and I serviceable players, I think. We wouldn't last
Possibly.
Long, but we could at least make a play or two. You know, I mean, they're such good defensive coaches. And, you know, speaking of, you're coming from San Francisco, where you get the coach, you know, he had Golston until this year, but, I mean, he had a great safety, two good cornerbacks, amazing, like the best linebacker corps since, like, the Giants of the late 80s, basically. I'm going to go that far and to say that Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, Ahmad Brooks, and Alden Smith are as good as anything we've seen since Banks, Taylor, Reasons, and Carson. I'm not kidding. They're that good. So he's going to coach. What now? he's got three guys on defense. And over there he had like five Pro Bowlers on defense. So it's going to be a tall, tall order. And whoever coaches that offense has to be licking their chops. I mean, the line is fantastic, right? I mean, Kyle Long, Roberto Garza in the middle with, you know, what's the guy's name? Jermon Bushrod, good young tackle. I think that offense is all set up, especially if Matt Forte, with a quality backup, is healthy again. Forget it. Mm-hmm. You know, I would imagine Cutler would play better, you know, once the coaching improves. And I think that John Fox is a super professional guy. He's been to two Super Bowls. Yeah, hasn't won one yet, but he's won as a coordinator. He's been to two Super Bowls, and I think the world of that guy. I hope his health holds up, and I hope they have a great time fixing that thing over there, because
definitely.
You got to be loving the project on defense, and the offense is ready to rock and roll.
Definitely. And for a lot of those players, this would be a culture shock moving from Trestman, a guy like Mark Trestman, to a guy like John Fox. And that might be good for the team. It might be what the defense needs.
Yeah, the defense has to start breathing fire again. If I was a Chicago Bear fan, I'd be aggravated that my defense is this bad. You know, I mean, I just, like, because they're so used to having such good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Not only regular football, but fantasy-wise as well. Their defenses were always, you know, highly valued until a couple years ago. They got to be, whatever. Anyhow, Jack Del Rio, so you lose your head coach and your defensive coordinator from Denver. And John Elway didn't look too unhappy that both those guys left town. However, Jack Del Rio is a pretty decent defensive coach. And maybe the perfect fit for him is Oakland. What do you think? What do you think about Jack on Oakland?
I wouldn't be as high on the move. I don't think if I was an Oakland fan, I'm not a huge fan of Del Rio as a head coach. I mean, he did relatively well with Jacksonville for a little while. He had a couple of playoff appearances, nothing to sneeze at, obviously, but it's just, this is a guy who the Jacksonville's owner eventually, he told the media that he wished that his coach had a better work ethic. And, you know, eventually that wound up, you know, he wound up leaving there. And he's done well in Denver with a lot of good pieces, but
Did he do well in Denver?
It's a very interesting, he's in a very interesting, going from Denver and coaching that defense to going to Oakland, which is, for all intents and purposes, the football wasteland, not just the fantasy wasteland, the football wasteland. I question whether he's ready to turn that team around if he's what that team needs, especially considering that today it was also announced that the Raiders are hiring or have hired Bill Musgrave as their offensive coordinator. And Musgrave has been, I'd say, a less than stellar coordinator in the past when he's had that opportunity, and he was working last year in Philadelphia as the quarterback's coach for Chip Kelly. And if you noticed, Nick Foles, before he got hurt, was doing all right, but he, you know,
he was not
he
doing all right.
Regress a tiny bit.
I, I take exception to that doing all right thing. I think the quarterbacks went backwards in Philadelphia.
Well, I was putting it kindly as I could.
Yeah.
All things
just get it out there, Ray. They went backwards. And Musgrave's a bad – Musgrave is not a – for whatever reason, maybe he's just in a cold streak right now or what have you, but he doesn't seem like the right guy to – I don't know if Oakland's the place for – you said Oakland fired him, though, so – or hired him.
They hired him today, yeah.
All right, so, you know, I don't know if Oakland's the place where you want to bring a guy in to reclaim his – you know, to as a reclamation project for his career. But, he again, there's an offensive – back to the Jets situation. There's an offensive line that's actually way worse than the Jets. They have one good player on the offensive line, a center, and everybody
mm-hmm.
else is – I don't know. It looks like my high school offensive line trying to go out there and do something. I mean, it's terrible. The quarterback runs for his life and gets pounded, and his efficiency numbers are terrible, even though I know his receivers are a little rough and he's a rookie, what have you. But they really don't have a running back. If you want, I mean, Latavius Murray, is that going to be the guy for the future? I see them drafting somebody as well. I don't see them bringing McFadden or Maurice Jones-Drew back. It's the Raiders. So there you go. At least Jack Del Rio can say, you know, if he on defense, he'll have some fun. He does have Khalil Mack, and it looks like that cornerback, what's his name, DJ Hayden? Is that his name?
Yeah.
It looks like he's been healthy for a while, so he doesn't have a life-threatening injury every time he makes a tackle. So now it looks like mm-hmm. he's played pretty much a full season back there, plus the safety's good. So, Oakland's defense is probably ahead of its offense at this point until they get Rod Streeter back and draft a wide receiver. But they are. Oof, man, that's probably the toughest job in football right now to get them headed and to get the arrow moving in the right direction there. It's got to be a handful.
It's probably a tougher job than most college football teams at this point.
I'm telling you, it is ugly over there. And, again, you know, like, okay, so we're drafted next year. If you're a dynasty owner, just take that for a second. You own a dynasty team. Are you down with Derek Carr? I mean, if you're, you know, not as your starter, as your dead ringers, you know, as far as like a future guy goes, you're going to need him to play in a couple of years. You know, say you've got like, you know, Tom Brady as your quarterback on your dynasty team, or Peyton, or Drew Brees, or somebody who's going to be hanging it up in a one or two, couple of 3 years here. And Derek Carr's your next guy. Are you keeping your eyeballs peeled for the waiver wire, and or are you okay with saying Derek Carr could be my guy in a couple of years?
I would probably have been more okay with saying that, yeah, I'd be comfortable with Derek Carr and rostering him on a dynasty team in that situation had the Raiders not gotten rid of Greg Olsen as their offensive coordinator, and now they brought in Bill Musgrave. Greg Olsen, you know, his offenses haven't ranked great over the years, but you look at the quarterbacks that he's worked with over the years. I mean, he's worked with Blaine Gabbert and Terrell Pryor and Matt McGloin, did what he could, and Derek Carr played well near the end of the season. Once he kind of got his legs under him a little bit, he did well. But I think that kind of speaks to Olsen as a coordinator. And now, I'm very curious to see what Olsen does.
And you're saying with some decent, you know, with some decent continued nurturing, that's a guy who could be somebody.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he's going to get that from Bill Musgrave. He would have had a better shot with Olsen, I feel.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's on the coach, though. I think Derek Carr, in his own right, is just going to be a good player just because he has it in him. That's what I think. I think he's worth on it in the dynasty situation for sure. And if they could fix the line at all and draft a receiver with Rod Streeter coming back healthy, I think that actually that could be a reasonably, you know, decent top 15 to 10, no, like that in that 15 to 10 range, you know, in that next like group of guys, fantasy wise, and then the sky's the limit for 2016 and beyond. Anyway, let's hop over real quick to the Broncos, where they've introduced Gary Kubiak as their new head coach. I think it's a great idea, and what I make of the hire is that the offense is actually going to be better if it can. You know, obviously, a lot depends on Peyton, but I think that offense is going to be better. And they'll bring back one of the two Thomases, you know, whoever deal they think is the best, it probably is going to be Demaryius. And the running game's all set. The line's all set. I think they're good to go. What do you think?
I have to agree with you there. Kubiak going to Denver makes sense. He's, from what I'm hearing, bringing Rick Dennison with him, who was a quarterbacks coach in Baltimore last year. So you're going to have that continuity. Kubiak's got a history with the team. He's got a zone block, that blocking offensive line and blocking system that has been proven and works. They've got, like you said, one of the Thomases. I think Demarius, they'd be foolish, I think, to let Demarius and else. Julius, I feel like they can get away with letting walk as long as they keep one of them. But now you've also got C.J. Anderson, who really, as we talked about last time I was on the pod, was really coming to his own and could be the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy that's running behind that line. Yeah, I think the running game's all set there. I think that you're in pretty good shape when Monty Ball's going to be your third-string running back. I think you're in good shape there with that. That means the other guys are really good. So that's what I got. Oh, you wanted to talk a little bit about – you wanted to mention Mark Trestman going to Baltimore as the offensive coordinator who plays Kubiak.
Yes.
And go ahead and riff on that for a couple of minutes. And we got about, I don't know, 3 minutes left here or something like that. So go ahead and give me what you got, and then we'll talk about your article and close things up.
Gotcha. Well, I just think if we're talking about it from strictly a fantasy perspective, Mark Trestman, he was in contention for, I mean, we were hearing he maybe would go to San Francisco, get to work with players in that offense. We were hearing maybe the Browns. And this is one of the more interesting destinations, depending on what Baltimore does in free agency, who walks, who stays. Do they keep Torrey Smith? Do they keep Justin Forsett? They could be those types of players that could really benefit from a statistical, especially Forsett, who is a very fluent pass-catching running back. Even Taliaferro could have some again, it's all going to depend on who stays, who goes. And, of course, working with Joe Flacco is going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think this coming year we could finally see Flacco statistically break into that upper fantasy echelon with Trestman at the helm.
Yeah, no, I like what they. I agree with that too. The line is good. The running game is good, and I think they'd be a fool. They'd be fool, even though he's 29, he just doesn't have a lot of miles on him. I think they'd be fool not to bring Forsett back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Taliaferro's a rookie, so he's under the rookie contract. He was drafted way late anyway. He's usable in certain situations. There's no question. Torrey Smith's a good player. Maybe you get another half a season out of Rod Smith. That rookie tight end, I can't even remember his name, and he completely went under my radar, and everybody else's, but he looks he looks like he's fine to take over for Pitta.
I think that's
a great hire also. I think Kubiak walked away from a good situation into a great one, and I think Trestman went from a really good situation to another really good situation.
Oh, definitely.
That's just how I think about it, so. I look for the Ravens to be, you know, right back at the playoffs again next year. I don't know what it'll take to put them past the Patriots. Maybe not turning the ball over twice. Anyway, we've got about a minute here. I wanted to just ask you a question about what you're working on as far as like a new article goes, or what new content you have coming up. If you want to tell us about that, please go right ahead.
Definitely. Well, my series that I kind of rebranded, restarted a couple weeks ago, it's called Beats by Ray. It's basically an avenue for me to use my experiences fantasy-wise as teaching points. I've got a lot of stuff in this past season. I'm putting out this Friday the second part of the Ballad of Odell Beckham Jr., as I like to call it. So be on the lookout for that. Looking at kind of what sets him apart and what if there's anything that we missed that we could have seen as far as being predictive.
And as usual, you keep a track of your predictions and rank them as you go, right?
Indeed.
That's a key thing. And because most writers don't do that, and everybody's got such a short memory, we just forget about what people say week to week, day to day. But the writers who were good at, you know, taking care of business like that, it's an added benefit for, you know, for any reader or listener. And you can find that on fantasyteam.com. Please visit the site and take a look at Ray's work. And there's a whole Dynasty section as well. In any event, we are just about out of time. And be sure to visit the Fantasy Team Advice Forums, where we have a thriving Dynasty football community discussing the top FanDuel and DraftKings plays on a daily basis. That would be a thriving DFS community. You all have a very good evening, and thank you very much.